Well, good morning, church. Thank you, Pastor. What a great privilege. Really, as my wife and I have looked forward to being with you. I guess I say that frequently because we look forward to any opportunity to meet together with the family of God, wherever that may be. But we really have looked forward, especially to being here. Pastor Eliyahu and I have been working for, 4 or 5 years to find a date that was workable for both of us. And we thought we had one, and the COVID set in, and we had to change it again. But we're just delighted to be able to share this morning with you. Thank you for being here. If you have scriptures with you this morning, whether that's in your hardbound Bible or your smartphone or your device or whatever you have, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Verse number 18, we do have somewhere, and you will know the system better than I, where resources are placed, and we have a couple of books, two or three books that we've written over the years that you may find of interest and value to you, so I would invite you to stop by and take a look at them before the day is over. I know we just sat back down, and thank you for your greeting, but would you mind standing back up one more time as we read the scripture? It's kind of an old habit that I have that I just like to have people stand when we read the scripture to kind of draw attention to this as the word of the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18, I read this statement, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." Would you pray this prayer with me this morning? Heavenly Father, open my heart that I may hear what you would say to me. Change my life. Make me more like Jesus. In his precious name, amen. You may be seated, whether you are in the auditorium, whether you are in the overflow, and if you actually stood up at home for the reading of the scripture, I commend you. During the early days of lockdown, an interesting experience for many of us to find ourselves doing church online. I started preaching when I was 17 years of age. I had never gone from the age 17 until now, as many Sundays in a row without standing in front of people in a public venue to preach. So it was a very interesting experience. And trying to decide when they asked us to stand, do I stand up at home or do I remain in my comfortable lounge chair? But wherever you are at, thank you for your participation. God has a great plan for every one of our lives. Many of you know that. Many of you have declared that to others as you have shared with them concerning Jesus, and you've said to them, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And salvation is a part of that plan. It's really the starting point. Now, I know we will talk about individuals who perhaps have not yet come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you may be one of those, and you're watching, or you're here in the auditorium, and you're on a journey, and you're exploring things spiritually, and perhaps you've not yet come to the point of making a decision to surrender your life to Jesus. I'm going to invite you to do that today, but I want you to know up front that coming into the kingdom of God, asking Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, is not the end of the journey. It's really just the starting point of the journey of that which God has for you, the plans that God has for your life. And in the passage of Scripture that we have read, it says that God wants to transform us. Now, the book of Romans chapter 8 says he wants to conform us to the image of his Son. That for the moment that we give our lives to him, that he is on a journey to take us from where we are to where we begin to resemble Jesus Christ. Now, many of us have family resemblance. You look like somebody else in your family, which when you're a young person and you're looking at your mom and your dad and you're thinking, someday I'm going to look like that, it can be discouraging. But the reality is, yes, you probably will. You know, that's kind of where it goes. I remember as a young man being in a youth rally and being outside the building, and one of my brothers went running by, and I heard a young lady say to her friend, "There's one of the Live and Good boys. You can tell them, they all look alike." God wants us to look like our older brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that journey of how we get there is shared with us in the book of 2 Corinthians and in the third chapter. It suggests that we are currently being transformed by the glory of God. May I say to us this morning that living for Jesus Christ is experiential. And I do not apologize for that. That God wants you to have a living experience with Him. Now, in 2 Corinthians 3 and 17, the verse before the text, it says, "The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." As I was preparing my heart in preparation for today and for this message, and aware that this third chapter of 2 Corinthians has three different themes that tend to run through it. And some of you preachers here in the auditorium or in the overflow, you can jot these three things down and you can preach them and do them justice later. But this chapter talks about the Spirit of the Lord. It emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In verse 3, it is the Spirit that writes on our hearts. In verse 6, it is the Spirit that gives life. In verse 6, we are competent to minister the Spirit. In verses 7 through 9, the ministry of the Spirit is more glorious than the ministry of death or the ministry of the old covenant. The chapter, secondly, emphasizes the glory of God. In verse 7, there was glory on the old covenant. Some people probably need to be reminded of that, that there was glory on that old covenant. In verse 7, that glory was visible, observable. In verse 8, that glory could fade. In verse 9, the glory could overflow or abound. In verse 10 and 11, the glory of the Lord can increase, surpass the former glory. In verse 11, the promise is given, the hope that the glory can endure. And then in verse 18, we read this glory is to transform us. Thirdly, the chapter emphasizes veils. In verse 13, veils stand between us and the glory of God. In verse 13, the veils could hide the fading glory. In verse 14 and 15, veils could keep us from understanding the Word of God. But in verses 14 and 16, those veils can be set aside. And then in verse 18, it is our unveiled face that allows us to be transformed by the glory of God. There's two things I really want to leave with you this morning on this journey of transformation. Because the reality is there are some people that come into the kingdom of God, they give their lives to Jesus, but 20 years later, there's precious little evidence that there's been any significant change in their life. That the same habits that have always been there are still there. The same issues that have dogged their steps are still there. And yet the promise from the Word of God and the Spirit of God is that we can become transformed individuals, changed individuals, made into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, that word transformation occurs in the New American Standard, I think, four times. And once in the Old Testament, and then it occurs a couple times in the New Testament. And we are very familiar with the passage of Romans where it talks about we are transformed by the Word of God. But I want to focus on this 18th verse because there are two parts in this verse that talk about our transformation. We need to experience both of them. Number one, we are transformed by the glory of the Lord, beholding the glory of God. Whenever people had encounters with the glory of God, they were changed. Do you remember Isaiah's encounter with the glory of God in Isaiah chapter number 6? He has this incredible encounter, and the glory brought Isaiah to an awareness of his own sinful condition. He says this, "Woe is me, I am ruined, I am a man of unclean lips." I hope I do not offend you if I say I want God to give you an encounter with him that ruins you. First of all, that makes you aware of things in your life that need to change. I want God to give me an encounter with his glory that causes me to become aware of the deficiencies that still exist, the changes that need to take place. I want to have an encounter with the glory of God that God begins to deal with me about the things in my life that need to be changed. I want God to give you an encounter with him that ruins you, that will never permit you to ever live a normal life. I was presented a t-shirt by a youth group that I really like. This t-shirt said, "Normal is overrated." May God give us lives that are super normal. That we will not just live normal lives, but because of an encounter with the glory of the Lord, that we become changed. Now, out of this encounter in Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 7, Isaiah's mouth is touched by a burning coal. His sins are forgiven. His iniquity is taken away, and he, in verses 8 and 9, becomes the voice of the Lord to his people. May I say that I want God to give you an encounter with him that causes the sin to be taken away, an encounter with him that causes your life to take on a radical transformation until you begin to become a part of the voice of God to the people you live among. That in your neighborhood and in your city and in your nation, in the place that you work, in the place that you receive an education, that the glory of God so changes you that your voice becomes a part of the answer and not a part of the problem. Clean from sin and a powerful voice of the Lord. There's a second part of this transformation, and I would love just to take time to tell stories of individuals who have had encounters with the glory of God and the absolute transformation that takes place in their lives. That when they have that, I will share just one. It was a Saturday night, and this man was one of the leading drug dealers in his city. There had been a move of God taking place in that city, a multi-week revival at a church that I had the privilege of being the speaker at. And this particular Saturday night, this man is in his lounge and has an encounter with the presence of the Lord. 20-plus years he had been away from the Lord, had grown up in an Assemblies of God church, but had been away from the Lord for over 20 years. And he has an encounter that Saturday night where the Spirit of the Lord says to him, "You be in my house tomorrow, and you give your life to me, or I will never speak to you again." Now, I know that creates theological issues, okay? I understand that, and I'm not going down that line. I just want, you know, he's the man that had the encounter, okay? And so at some point, God was saying to this young man, "I am done playing games." And the Spirit of the Lord began, and so the next day, this young man shows up in the house of the Lord. Now, he comes into the Sunday night service, and he takes a seat on the next to back row in the auditorium. And by the second song, something is taking place in that auditorium with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm watching this young man on the back row, whom I'd never seen, shaking. And somehow, I was just aware that this was not a glory shake. It was not a sense that he was just basking, you know. This was a shake because the glory of God was convicting him of the stuff in his life. And I turned to the pastor and I said to him, "There are people in this auditorium who are ready to give their lives to Jesus right now." And he said to me, "Well, don't mess it up with your preaching." you know, thank you. I appreciate your support, you know. And so I took the microphone and I said something to this effect. There are people in this auditorium. You are away from the Lord. You do not know Jesus. You've never known the Lord. Or you once knew him and you've walked away from him. You're doing things Jesus would never do. And the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with you right now. We're not waiting any longer. I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come to the front of this building. And we're going to give our lives to the Lord. That young man jumped to his feet with 11 other people. And they ran to the front of that building, and he had an encounter with the presence of God that transformed his life. 20 years of drug addiction fell away instantly. 20 years of alcohol, 20 years of tobacco, all of the stuff in his life totally fell away, called to preach, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Not a bad start. But it was an encounter with the presence of God. An encounter with the presence that brought conviction. An encounter with the presence that brought a transformation in his life. But as soon as I say that, there is someone who will say, yeah, but I know somebody. And they had this incredible encounter with the presence of God, and you can't find them today. I probably know even more of those than you do. Simply because I get to be in more places. And I have seen some incredible stories of people, these awesome moments where they sense the presence of God. I have watched people be frozen in location by the power of God that could not even move. And they're just standing there almost in a trance-like situation as God was moving in that service. And yet some of the same individuals I've seen not long after turn away from the Lord, get engaged in sin, and you begin to, what's the deal here? I cannot believe that the glory of the Lord was deficient. I cannot believe that the potential of the power of God at work in the life was insufficient. And yet the scripture says there's this potential that I am going to be transformed by the glory of God. But there's another part of that. For it also says in that 18th verse, it's with the unveiled face that I behold God's glory. You see, in verses 12 through 15, a veil over the face of people is described. In verse 14, hardened minds are described. In verse 15, the veil lies over the heart. It's describing unrepentant hearts, hardness of heart, closed minds. And the veil stands between the individual and the glory of God that brings transformation. The veil can be taken away. The removal of the veil, leaving to an open, unveiled face, describes two things to me. Number one, it describes to me our openness before the Lord. Before the Spirit of God, before the power of God, before the glory of God is going to produce an ongoing change in my life, I have to become open to Him. At some point, transparency takes place. No longer hiding from him. You do understand, I'm sure, that there are people in New Zealand who are hiding from God today in church. There are those individuals who say, well, listen, I'm going to go to church today. I'm going to give God an hour, hour and a half, whatever it may be. And then what they're really saying to God is this, God, now don't bug me. I gave you an hour. What else do you want? There has not been the removal of the veil. And so they will sit in the service unmoved by that presence and power of God that is in that place because there is something in the way. The unveiled face requires a transparency on my part before the Lord. The unveiled face describes our intimacy with the lover of our soul. Think with me for just a moment about the traditional wedding service. The bride approaches the altar in the beautiful wedding gown. The formal weddings of yesterday that would often hide the bride behind the veil. That veil stands between her and her lover. She cannot see him as he fully is. He cannot fully express his love for her as long as the veil is in place. But there will come a moment in that service when the pastor, when the preacher will invite them to remove the veil so the groom may kiss the bride. Now, I will not proceed further down the trail of intimacy between the groom and the bride except to say that some of the deepest expressions of love and intimacy demand the removing of all the veils. They will demand the removing, actually, of all of the clothing so that total transparency and total intimacy occurs. And it is true spiritually. For me to really encounter the glory of God that transforms me is going to require me to become transparent and is going to require me to become intimate with the Lord. Is in that intimate openness with Him that He begins to give to me a full revelation of who He is. And it's out of that intimate time with Him, out of that transparent time with Him, that His glory begins to change my life. But as long as I keep the veil between myself and the Lord, I will never experience the depth of transformation that the Lord desires me to experience. As I bring this in for a landing, I want to, without apology, call you to an experience in God today. But I'm going to call us to remove the veils from our faces so we can be exposed to the fullness of His glory touching us, or at least as much as we can handle. It's going to include us becoming vulnerable, transparent before the Lord. When I was serving as a pastor a number of years ago, one of the men in my church, one of our home group leaders, said to me, "Pastor, I really do not like it when on Sunday you preach some type of messages." Why is that? "Because whatever you preach on Sunday, I will be required to live out before Wednesday. That before I ever sit down with my home group, whatever you've dealt with, I will have to process that. I will walk through that. Can you just preach about good stuff? Just tell us all of the..." He said, "Because anytime the Spirit begins to challenge us, I'm going to be challenged personally." But he rose to those occasions. The vulnerability before the Spirit would take place. The transparency would happen. His life became changed as he became even more effective in leading that group. I contrast that with another lady who would say to me, "I hate certain things when you preach because it makes me uncomfortable." And she never would deal with them. And she would just remain in the condition she had always been in. It was not God's desire that the one be growing and transforming and becoming like Jesus, and the other was always remaining where they'd always been, dealing with the same issues they had always dealt with in their life. Both sat in services where the incredible power and glory of God would come. The difference, one would take the veil off and allow the glory of God to deal with them, and the other kept the veil squarely in front so that God, because it would not become transparent, they would not become vulnerable because it hurt too much to do so. What are the veils? Let me suggest two. There are many veils, but I suggest two. There's the veil of sin. However you define that sin, whether it be that you've never come to know Jesus, and so it's that basic sin of unbelief. Whether it's the sin of rebellion, the sin of rejection, the sin of lying or stealing, whatever label you want to put on it. But when I'm doing those things that Jesus has told me not to do, it becomes a veil. And until I prepare to get the sin removed out of my life, the glory of God is not going to bring the change within me. But there are, and if you're in that condition this morning, my friend, whether you're in this auditorium, the overflow at home, the Spirit of the Lord wants to visit you. And as you will allow Him to, He wants to help you remove the veil so that His glory can begin to penetrate to the very deepest part of your spirit. But there are others that you've given your life to Jesus, but there are still veils in your life that keep you from experiencing that which God desires to take place within you. For some, it's the circumstances of their past. A toxic church, I would like to say that every church is a healthy church, but I'm becoming an old man now, and I've been around a while, and the reality is some churches are not healthy. And there are some people that live in that environment of toxicity, and it has created an impact within their life, and they are afraid of being vulnerable before the Lord. Because things have happened in their lives, they are afraid of taking the veil off. For some, it's the disappointment. It's the young lady that she really wanted to commit suicide, and she would contact our office whenever she was in that particular frame of thinking. She said to me one day, "I don't think you and Jesus planned for me to commit suicide, do you?" And I said, "Not if we can help it." But she began to share with us a part of the issue is her own personal disappointment with the Lord. Now, that's something we often would not say in church, that I'm disappointed with the Lord. And she didn't put it in that language exactly, but that's what she was saying. She began to talk about the promises of God that had not taken place. The prayer she had prayed that there had not been a breakthrough in. She said, "Didn't God promise in His Word that He would provide for all of my needs?" I said, "Well, it says something like that." She says, "Well, then why is it that I lost my flat? And God did not supply." Pastor, I was really tempted to say to her, "Well, sis, if you had quit that job that Jesus gave you, you probably would have the income to pay for the flat, you know, but you quit the job because you didn't like the job, and now you're complaining about Jesus not providing." But I wasn't sure she was in the frame of mind to receive that at the moment, so I thought that'll have to wait for another discussion. But her disappointment, she was afraid to reach out again. And you may be there this morning, friend, that something has happened in your life. You've been hurt in church. You've been hurt by somebody connected to church, and you have blamed Jesus for what his siblings did. May I say to you, please don't blame Jesus for what his siblings did any more than you want to be blamed for what your siblings do. Does anybody here have a brother or sister that's done something that you don't want to be identified with? There have been times in my life, I'm sure I've done things that my brother has said, he's not my brother. And whatever it is today that is the cause of the veil, there's an invitation that comes from the Lord. And he says to you this morning, if you will remove the veil before me, if you will allow the sin to be taken out of your life, if you will bring the hurts and the circumstances that have brought pain in your life to me, and you'll become open and transparent and vulnerable, and that's risky. If you'll allow me to become intimate with you, and my glory will begin to overshadow you, my presence will begin to minister to you. And somewhere as I allow myself to become before Him with an unveiled face, the presence of God begins to experientially bring a transformation into my life. This morning, I'd like you to have that opportunity, that invitation. Whether it is to say, "Jesus, I need you to come into my life as a Savior. I'm going to take the veil of sin off." Or whether it's just as a child of God to say, "Lord, I need to become vulnerable because there are areas of my life I have just not grown in. I've justified it. I've excused it. But Lord, this morning, I want to begin to remove the veil." If I could have some musicians, please. My wife tells the story that of an incredible season within our lives where God, in her language, God began to remove the layers off of the onion. That outer skin, it just began. She was like layers being peeled off of her. Now, coming to New Zealand and discovering the power shell, she changed descriptions. And she found one that was still pretty rough and one where they had removed the outer and had polished it and a beauty was shining forth. And it is in that bringing of the outer shell of my life, that bringing of the skin of who I am and allowing it to begin to be removed and allowing His glory to begin to touch the deep inner part of me, that transformation begins to take place. Will it all happen at one time? Probably not, because that'd be more than most of us could handle. But He starts with the one layer. And then when I'm prepared to take the next layer off, He goes a little deeper, a little more of His glory, a little more transformation, a little more change. In just a moment, I'm going to invite us in this auditorium. I'm going to invite us in the overflow. At home, I'm going to encourage you to do the same, to make a conscious decision. I am going to begin to take the veils off. Here in this room, I'm going to invite you in a moment to stand with me. And we're going to come before the Lord, and we're going to take the veils off. And I'm going to lead us together in an exercise, kind of an object lesson, if you want to put it that way, and invite you to participate. And then I'll close my part with a word of further direction for those in a special area. But would you mind standing with me? There have been moments in my life as an evangelist, as an itinerant, some as a pastor, but especially on the road, there have been moments when I've been watching God moving in a service, and I'm watching the Spirit of God dealing with some. Watching the response, Pastor, there have been moments I've wanted to run out and grab somebody by the lapels and say, "Don't you know God's talking to you? You know, don't open your heart." But I understand I can't do that, so far I've successfully resisted the temptation to run out there and do that. But I'm going to ask you to open your heart to Him. I'm going to invite you to do something with me, and it could just become a routine that means nothing, or it could become an incredibly significant moment in your life. I'm going to ask you to combination, think through where you're at the moment. What are the veils that stand between me and the lover of my soul? Is there a veil of sin that stands between me and Him? And if there is, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to remove that veil. If there's another veil that the Spirit of the Lord, because I believe that the Spirit of the Lord will begin to speak to some this morning who know Him, but there's a veil that's there. It may be a situation out of your past that has kept you from progressing where God wants you to progress. And this morning, I'm going to invite you in a moment to say, "Lord, I want this veil removed." And allow Him to help you to take the veil off. And then we're going to turn our faces toward heaven, and we're going to allow the lover of our soul to minister to our spirits with His presence, perhaps for some with His glory. We'll pray a prayer together, and then I'm going to invite you, as you feel it's right, to do what I like to call an illustrated sermon, object lesson. Take the veil off, and just literally, you know, whether you want to take it from chin to head and pull the veil off, or you want to come side to side, I don't care. But in a moment after we pray, you are prepared to say, "Lord, I want this veil to come off." And at that moment, I'm going to invite you to do that, and then turn your face to heaven and allow the Lord to minister to you. I want to pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that, and then I'll give a special word of direction for some before we're finished. Heavenly Father, in just a moment, I'm going to be asking these friends in this auditorium, those in the overflow, and those, Father, who are watching from their lounge, perhaps their bedroom. And right now, Father, the Holy Spirit is beginning to speak to some about a veil that He's long desired to remove out of their lives, to help them to remove so that His glory could come and refresh and transform their lives. Father, by Your Holy Spirit, would You begin to speak to us about the veil this morning that can be removed? And now, Father, we're going to make a conscious decision before you. And we're saying to you, Father, I want to take this veil off. For some of you, it's this veil of sin right now. Just begin to say, Lord, this is the sin that needs to come off. For some of you who've never given your life to Jesus, you need to say, Lord Jesus, would you just remove sin and come into my life? For others of you, as you're standing here, the Lord has brought into your mind a moment, a situation in your past where growth stopped spiritually. And your whole growth in the Lord has been stymied because of a person, a situation, and they've become a veil between you and the Lord. And right now, we're asking the Lord to remove that veil. And as you ask Him to do that, I would encourage you now to symbolically remove the veil. And after you have done that, to begin to lift your face to the Lord and allow Him to minister to you. Father, would you come? Father, I said this to you again this morning. There's more to this, Father, than me preaching. The only thing that happens is that I share a few words. And Father, you do not come and do that which only you can do. Then we've had an exercise in religion and nothing more than that. But in the middle, Father, COVID-19 and all of the stuff that puts around us, Father, I believe that you desire. So right now, Father, so many of your children in this room and in the overflow and at homes have symbolically taken the veil off. They've heard something from you and they're taking the veil off. Now, Father, would you do what only you can do? Would you let your glory come? Would you let your presence come powerfully, sweetly into that life just now? That one, Father, that has struggled for years with condemnation and it's been a veil between you and them. The authority of Jesus Christ, I remove that condemnation off of you, ma'am. Sir, I remove that condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That over-inflated feeling that Satan has put there about what you did would say that God cannot forgive you. In the name of Jesus, I remove that condemnation. Let Him now, let His love and His glory begin to minister to your heart. Now, some of you may just want to take a moment to just verbalize before the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I receive right now a work of your Holy Spirit in my life. Right where I'm standing, I receive a work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Now, if that veil that was removed this morning was specifically a veil of sin to where you are asking Jesus to come into your life for the first time, where you're asking Jesus to come back into your life, listen, we want to help you. The church is here to help you. Actually, we're here to help you with all the veils. But particularly if you're giving your life to the Lord, I think you will find it helpful for you to identify yourself. And you can do that a couple of ways. I know that we're dealing with the fact we have another service coming in a few moments. But I would encourage you to either with one of the pastors that you saw this morning, if you don't know anybody in the church and you know who the pastors are, Pastor Fia prayed over the offering and our pastor who gave the notices and our pastor of our church who introduced me, I would encourage you to say to them after this meeting, I prayed to ask Jesus to take the veil of sin out of my life because we want to know who you are so we can help you. Okay, that's what we want to do. If you're in the overflow, whether you see the pastor before you leave the grounds, or whether you connect with an individual in that overflow who's a recognized leader in the church, I would encourage you to do that. If you're home, can I encourage you to communicate with the church office? Whether that's a phone call, whether that's a text message or an email, and say, you know, I was watching your service, and I asked Jesus to take the veil of sin out of my life. We want to communicate with you. Some of you today, something is happening, and you're going to sense, I need some further help. And you may need to contact the church office and say, something happened Sunday morning, but I'm aware it stirred up some deeper issues, and I need you to pray with me. We want to do that. So, Father, I thank you for the privilege this morning. And, Father, again, I pray for my brothers and my sisters that are in this room, that you, Father, by your Holy Spirit, would minister to them in such a powerful, powerful way. Father, I am glad that you are not limited. COVID does not limit you. Father, we love to bring people to a front when time permits and to lay hands on people. But Father, there are also those moments that you say, I'm going to come right to your seat. And we're going to make it a sanctuary. And I'm going to change your life. And Father, I thank you that right now, your Holy Spirit is doing that. And I give you glory. And I give you honor for that which you are doing. In Jesus' name. Take the veil off, friends. One of the things I try to do on a daily basis before the Lord is take the veil off so that in the moments of intimacy and transparency, he can change me. Because trust me, I need changed. Thank you. I'll let you be seated for a moment for your attentiveness, Pastor. I'm going to surrender this microphone to you, sir. God bless you and thank you.